As driven, ambitious Christian entrepreneurs, how do we grow our business in a way that honors Christ? From seeking Him first in all of our business dealings, being surrendered to His will, and knowing exactly where and how we can make an impact through our business for the furtherance of His kingdom. Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, and these are just some of the topics my guest and I will be discussing in the hope that we may inspire and empower you to walk strongly in your faith so you can build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Let's dive in. And welcome to another episode. My guest today says, own your greatness. And joining me on today's show is Dina Patton. Dina has been an elite business and mindset coach for the last 20 years. She works with purpose-driven business owners and leaders to help them go from good to great across their revenues, their systems, and leadership. She's also a keynote speaker and best-selling author of The Greatness Game. And Dina has garnered over 60 media stories and 9 awards. She's also the co-founder of the Girls Rule Foundation, which is a 501c3 that offers leadership and empowerment programs for teen girls nationwide. Now, on today's show, Tina's going to share how failure, well, that can be a powerful learning opportunity. She's going to talk about how embracing a growth mindset can unlock your potential, as well as how helping others, well, that can be one of the most rewarding experiences in life. So welcome to the show, Dina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Look, I wanted to, as the introduction was playing, I wanted to share something that both of us spoke about before we went live. And you asked me, you know, who is this audience? And I said, well, they're in all sorts of different businesses and backgrounds, but the commonality is they love the Lord and there's business. I said, this is a podcast where we can geek out about business and leadership, as well as our love for Jesus. And you said, well, that is amazing and how wonderful that is. And we mentioned, and this is why I wanted to mention it today and start off this conversation. As believers and people who just love the Lord, how do you separate the two? How can you talk about business and faith and separate the two if you're a believer? It's very difficult. Love to hear your thoughts.
I have become such a believer that we don't separate them, right? The lens through life, through parenting, through our marriage, through business, is the lens of Jesus. And so when we have that kind of lens, we can't separate it. But I think a lot of people do. Actually, the majority do. They have their faith in a box over here and their business over here. And what I find in the middle is actually fear. That's what's in the middle. So I, as a business coach over the last 22 years, I have attracted many, many faith-based business owners, but they have those separated. And the thing in the middle is the fear of judgment, fear of losing business, fear of offending someone, right? There's just a lot of fear in the middle. So they're just like, you know, what's more comfortable? Keeping them separate. And, you know, that doesn't go well with me. I'm like, I'm the wrong coach to hire because yes. We're going to actually try to find the way to integrate them. And we all have different lines, you know, what I call finding your line. As a faith-based person who's in business, of course we have to find our line. We're not preaching from, you know, our businesses. But you have to find your way, your line, where you can integrate your faith so you're not two different people, right? And I think that's the point.
Yeah. And right? what I have heard from the amazing conversations that I have had with people who love the Lord and who have, I love that term, who have found their line and who have walked with that day in and day out, the Lord has shown up for them in their business in ways that they just wouldn't have expected. And yes. I remember having an interview with one leader of an organization who said, we don't openly talk about the Lord, like we don't preach from our boardroom table or anything yes. like that, but our actions and our interactions are biblically, you know, biblically sound. They're following the teachings, and they have had over 500 people come to the Lord just by observing and interacting, and it allows the Holy Spirit to move, you know, within that way. And I mean, I think sometimes as believers, you know, we want to encourage people, start to think about what your line is, and maybe you can share some insights for us to start to considering what that might be for us. Because I think when we separate, you're inadvertently just saying to the Lord, no, I don't really want your involvement in my business. But I tell you what, we work from a kingdom economy. We don't work from a worldly economy.
Right.
And the things that can happen is just incredible. I'm sure you've got lots of stories about people that you've worked with that, you know, you may be coaching them and you think, well, this is the hand of the Lord, you know, that has seen this.
Absolutely.
So let's start off by, what are some of the things that you can share for people who have not yet considered? What's your line? What are some things that you can do to encourage others to think, well, maybe we can start to integrate a little bit? What does that look like for us?
Yeah. So I think it's really important to know that everybody's line is different. And I have worked with probably every sector possible over 20 years, from high-end financial planners to realtors to consultants to home builders to candle makers. Like, I mean, everybody in business, Market Street, right? Everybody's in business in different sectors. And you want to find your line, you know, in a personal way, what's comfortable for you, because if it's not comfortable, you won't do it, right? And so from like what you already said, it's not about preaching from the boardroom. It's not even about preaching at all, right? Mm-hmm. It's how do you want to represent Jesus? Just loving your clients in ways that they don't get loved any other place. That, let's just start there. How can you love your clients or customers more, right? Mm-hmm. That's like Jesus. How can you bless your team? How can you do, you know, are you comfortable doing prayer meetings? You know, maybe the first Monday of every month or every Monday of every month, you know, there's a prayer meeting and people are open. They can come to it or they don't have to come to it. But when you start putting your faith, just putting things intentionally, we're going to love more. We're going to pray more. We're going to pray for our clients. I pray for my clients every single day, over them and over my day, over my team, right? So prayer is a huge part of it. But how am I? I'm constantly measuring myself. How am I showing up like Jesus every day? And sometimes I fail because we're humans. We fail. But the next day I click back into that because that's one of my lines is I want to be more like Jesus and less like me, the human, right? And so, you know, I one of the biggest clients that stands out is a financial planner that said, he heard me speak on a stage and he came running up to me and he goes, how do you do it? How do you do it? And I didn't even know what he was talking about. I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, clearly you are a successful CEO. But clearly you are faith-based. How in the world are those two worlds existing? And this is probably 10 years ago. And it was the first person that really articulated it like that. Like, how in the world are those two things existing? He ended up becoming a client. And it was a beautiful transformation because he was an unshakable Christian, huge faith, great involvement in his church. Just an amazing, unshakable Jesus lover, but you would never know it. You would never know. If you're in his business, you would never know it. So we found little ways that he started to bring words, questions. Even as a financial planner, he incorporated, this is one question. This is how little this can be. One question. Is there a church or a faith-based institution you want to give to? That was not even a question. That's how scared he was to bring up I mean, you're a financial planner. I think that's a normal question. But to him, he so stayed away from anything faith-based. Another thing he incorporated was as a philanthropist, as a donor, he decided as a business owner, he was going, his philanthropy dollars were going to go to faith-based philanthropy. That was a decision, and he put that on his website. Here's the three charities we give to, and they were all faith-based. See what I mean? Like, just asking that one question and then choosing those charities, that was his starting. That was his very baby step of a line. And then we built from there.
Yes. And what I'd love to hear, when you started doing that with him and when that started to become more comfortable for him, how much of a difference did that make for him personally? I mean, it must have been absolutely amazing. Yes.
Well, the key word is authenticity. Yeah. It's one of my core values. I think authenticity is our biggest currency. When we are our most authentic selves, I think we're on the path of our greatness and our greatest selves. When we feel like we have to perform or edit ourselves, and especially in our work, you know, especially as business owners, I mean, I work long hours and it's a big part of my business. If I had to be fake and very edited over there, that's a huge part of my life. I'm inauthentic because I'm performing and I can't bring my full self to that, right? But I think my biggest breakthrough in my own journey of this, because I do speak a lot on stages, I definitely feel like that was the place where I kind of had my line, like, ooh, not on stages. I can't do anything faith-based there. And I really took a long, hard look at, I have to find my line. I am not going to be on one more stage where I have to perform and be an edited version. I don't want to go to the place where I'm preaching, but I want to be able to be my most authentic self. So I did. I found phrases and words that clearly were Christian, but didn't. I never wanted to cross the line of offending, especially a secular audience. You know, you have 500 CEOs in a conference. The last thing I want to do is offend them or push them away, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to find certain words, certain phrases that were authentic to me so I could be my authentic self and share. I also wanted people to know that I was Christian. And I want to touch on this really quick. I think there's a natural fear as a business owner to attract clients. You know, if you don't have revenue in your business, you're building a hobby. We have to sell our goods and services, whatever you're selling. And I think there's a fear of, oh gosh, if they know I'm Christian, I'm going to lose the sale, lose the client. What I found, and this wasn't even on purpose, the more I became my authentic self, the more I did put those Christian-based words in, wove them in my speech on leadership in front of 500 CEOs. The Christians heard it. And guess what happened? They're attracted to it. They're like, oh, she might be the coach that I'm looking for. Yeah. And see, what happens is it attracts more clients and more customers and more revenue, which I didn't really know it was going to do. I just wanted to be more authentic because I hated this like box I was living in, right? The benefit and the blessing, God's like, oh, you're going to honor me? Oh, you're going to own your faith? Okay. Mm-hmm. And by his blessing, guess what happened? Those Christians and even some non-Christians, but they went, I want to work with her. I want to work with him. What happened with my financial planner? He saw the same thing. He said, I never knew. I wasn't even doing it to attract business. I just wanted to do it because I felt so inauthentic.
Yeah.
And the benefit is Christians are attracted to it and they want to hire you. So there's a beautiful ending to it, but we just, again, have to find our words or find our practice, find our thing, that line that's going to honor him and still honor our clients and honor our business.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I heard back from one of my clients, this was years ago, because as believers, we know that the way to do business in a way that honors the Lord is to be integral. It's to deliver what you promise, you know, to be of your word. Authenticity is so important for me as well. And so that is how I approach, and I would assume every single business owner who's listening to this podcast would do that as well, you know, even to make sure that you are serving your client the best that you know how and deliver what you promise. And this client was often saying, I'm so grateful for this. And I said, you don't have to thank me for something that I said. Oh, she said, you don't know how many people that I've worked with over the years that have promised things and never delivered. And, you know, to me, it's like, well, I know someone who's watching over my shoulder every single time. So yeah. It doesn't matter what I try to hide, not that I would anyway, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We often sort of, well, no one's watching, I'm going to try and cut corners and everything. The Lord's always watching. So and that is going to make such a difference to our clients. As you said, loving on the clients, giving them what you promised so that they can be, you know, and then when you sort of weave that in, they know that's obviously what it means to be a Christian. On the opposite side of the coin, if we do say that, we need to hold ourselves accountable because, you know, it's like a brand. We are the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, and we want to make sure that we are, living out in the right
living
way.
Walking it, right?
Not just saying something and then doing something else, but really walking it out. And that speaks volumes, especially in the world today. So let's then talk about failure, because as part of any business, there's opportunities for taking risks and so forth. But sometimes things that we work on don't turn out as we'd hoped. And one of the things that you say, and I certainly believe too, is failure can be such a powerful learning opportunity if we allow it to be. Let's speak a bit more about this.
Are you saying value?
How failure can be a powerful and valuable learning opportunity. Yes.
Value. I love your accent. So adding value to your company, and values, you know, having core values. Faith is part of my values. Courage, faith, accountability, fun, integrity, and authenticity are my six values. And again, very purposeful of why I put faith in my core values. It is a core value, but a lot of people are scared to put that word in there, or a Christian word in their core values. And values, we hire, fire, and lead by our values. Mm-hmm. If you are not hiring, firing, and leading by your values every day, you got to check yourself. You got to do the work you need to do to get realigned and regrounded into your values. It is life-changing, especially as a faith-based entrepreneur, to really have those as the bumpers of every decision. Goes against, you know, when I'm offered to sponsor an event or speak at this or collaborate with that or this type of client, whatever offer or invitation I get, it goes against my values. You know, it gets judged against my values. Is this aligned to my values? That is how I make every single decision. And when everything goes if it's aligned with your values, you make better and better and better decisions. So that's values, walking them every single day and knowing them, as especially the business owner, really having them alive, right? And then value, you know, bringing value to your business and how you bring value. And I think that is business is about bringing value to people. So what I call serving and solving, that our value comes from how we serve people and how we solve people. You are in the business of serving people and you're in the business of solving their problem. Yeah. Your product or service solves their problem. And when we come at it from a Jesus lens, I'm going to serve and solve from a Jesus lens and from my values, oh my gosh, it just becomes this beautiful experience, not just for your customers, but for you. There's an alignment there. There's a, I'm walking what I believe, and I'm walking, you know, we just want to be, I always say, be like Jesus. You know, that is like the goal every day, right? So when we are walking in our value and we are walking with our values, it changes the whole experience internally and externally.
Yeah, sure does. So we talked about faith there. Now let's talk about another F word that we don't really like talking about, and that is failure. So setback. There's a lot of risk taking in business. And so what you say is failure can be a powerful learning opportunity. Share more about that.
Oh my gosh. We have to take the lessons from our failures, our mistakes. You know, there's a big difference between I failed and I'm a failure. And I think the mindset, that smallness mindset that I talk about, it is that negative, toxic side of ourselves that can bring us down and tell us what a loser we are and what a horrible leader we are. And it starts with, we screwed up, right? Right? Like we made a mistake, or we failed at that client or that day or that project. And smallness takes that and goes, oh, what a loser. Oh, you should be out of this business. Oh, what are you doing? Right. And it can really convince us to quit on ourselves, get very resigned and pull back. Right. And here's what I want you to know. Every mistake, every failure I have a kind of a mantra, I want that mistake or failure to help me become better, not bitter. When we go into that bitter, toxic, negative, smallness place, it can really get dark and not fun. And we can end up quitting on ourselves versus saying, wow, I really messed that up. Right? Take that responsibility or look at the lesson and let it make you better. Learn from it, fail forward. And that whole commitment, it's just my commitment, because we're human beings, right? We are going to mess up. We're going to fail at things, but I'm not a failure. I failed at that thing, right? Oh, that project didn't go well, or that event was a failure, right? But that's very, very different than I'm a failure. And that toxic thought, I'm a failure, that what happens with our thoughts, they become beliefs. And often we don't have the awareness, because it's a millisecond between the thought and the belief. It's a millisecond right there. And the I'm such a failure then becomes a belief, I'm such a failure, right? And then once we have that belief in place, we start acting like a failure, and we start believing deeper we're a failure. And again, the darkness and the spiral goes on. But that's not what God wants at all. He says, okay, I forgive you. Okay, let's try again, right? Put your eyes on me. He doesn't coddle us and go, it's okay. He doesn't pet us and coddle us. He says, look at me. Come on. Don't lose your focus. Get up and look at me. I will give you strength. So it's those moments that, I mean, they're right there in the Bible, but I think we get so strung out on the negativity and what's going on in our dark mind. Sometimes we forget, look in the Bible, get recentered. That's why the word is, it has to be part of our morning routine, because it can snap you out of those dark. You had a really rough week or rough day yesterday. Maybe, you know, we hear of these things all the time. A partnership came apart, or someone embezzled from you. I had a friend of mine, her office manager embezzled $200,000 from her business. That's hard. And then you start getting really blaming yourself, and it's hard, but that's the moments where we got to get our eyes back in the Word, get our eyes on God, get our footing solid again, and let it make us better. Fail forward, lesson learned, know better, do better.
Yeah. What I love about what you're saying there, it is so encouraging, and it is encouraging because it is to take the learnings from that situation. And there are always learnings, but sometimes what we do is we don't want to remember, or we don't want to recall that situation. Yes. It makes us feel, you know, ugh. And I have a bit of a story that I tell as well. And I love that, you know, setbacks are stepping stones. That's what you say. And my story is that the worst business failure ever was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it set me on the path to where I am today. And there were a lot of things that I had to look at, and I could see that I contributed to that, you know. And so often we can pass the blame, and this happened and that person did that, but we're often a co-contributor to that. And there are things that we recognize when we're courageous enough to look at, well, what were the steps that happened or didn't happen, and the inklings, because often we go back and we go, you know what, there was something there that just didn't feel right, but I chose to ignore it. But the biggest thing that I love that you're sharing, it is so important, and you mentioned that the Lord forgives us. There is an element of forgiveness that I found that I need to go through as well, so that I didn't end up jaded, because I knew that this event that happened, if I didn't deal with it and heal, you know, through it, which was only done through the, you know, power of the Holy Spirit and getting in the Word and praying and, you know, lots of tears. If I didn't heal through that, it had the opportunity to change some of my core values, which was trust in others and treating others how I would want to be treated, you know, myself, which is a bit of a spin in, you know, treat others how you would want to be treated. Yeah. And going through that forgiveness process has enabled me to look at that situation now and go, you know what, there are a lot of things that I could see that we could have done, and we didn't do that. And even if I saw that other person, there are no hard feelings. It was, you know, it happened. Let's move forward. And I think that's more important. We're not saying that the situation was terrible, like, you know, what with your colleague, with your friend who experienced embezzlement from their staff members. But if you don't heal, and if you don't, you know, the bitter and better, you go through life and that shows up. You drag that with you. All other circumstances. So,
well, and I love that you use the word jaded, you know, that just that bitter jadedness. You can see it in people. You can see it. You can hear it in
life. Being suspicious, you know, because I love visioning and ideas. And I did not want to meet myself in that idea to say, yeah, but what if they do this and that? I mean, you are just sowing those seeds of mistrust.
Yes.
And I just did not want that to happen. What we often forget as believers is that we have an enemy, and that enemy, what did Jesus say? Who comes to kill, lie, kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can cause chaos and confuse us and cause doubt and unbelief and all of that, guess what? You will never achieve what that word that sits there on your back wall, the greatness that is there, that the Lord, you know, says, if we do what we say, what he recommends and says, there is greatness there. What would you say to someone who's listened today and can see, oh, I think I've got a bit of bitterness there. I need to work through that. What are some steps that they can take?
Grace. Part of my morning routine, and one of the things I do with every one of my clients, is I have them on a CEO self-care plan, because I imagine there's four tanks on the back of, almost like the scuba tanks that we have, four of them. You have your spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical tanks. And they're being fueled and they're being drained. And they're being fueled and they're being drained, right? And as a leader, as a business owner, you're being pulled from your family, obligations, board you're sitting on, your team, your all of it, right? If we do not intentionally fill our tanks and have that consciousness of, I'm spiritually drained, or I am emotionally drained. We do not lead with greatness and grace and power and clarity and vision when our tanks are down. Mm-hmm. We're exhausted. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but when those tanks are down, we're not the best version of ourselves. We're the worst version of ourselves, right? So part of being a leader is the CEO self-care. And back to your question, is one of the things that I always say that has to be part of your self-care is that self-forgiveness and grace. Mm-hmm. Every morning in my self-care, my journaling, prayer, meditation time every morning, I forgive myself for the mistakes that I made yesterday. And I'm not kidding. I go through them. I messed up here. That was bad communication, or I failed at this thing, right? So I just grace. It's so hard to give ourselves grace because it's so easy to give ourselves punishment and sabotage. I don't know why it's easier to do that, do the negative than the positive, but it is. It has to become a practice of forgiveness and grace, because what happens when we don't, that bitterness, that negativity, that quitting, that jadedness is real. And that isn't what we're here for. We can't deliver. I see our business as a delivery platform for three things. I call them the three G's: our greatness, our gifts, and our God. Mm. And when you can see your business as a platform for delivery, those three things, it changes your lens of your business. Because I think we can get in the, you know, hustle and sales and team drama and hiring and firing and all the things, but none of that matters. Are you being a delivery platform for your greatness, for your gifts, and your God? It changes. It changes the game. So that's what I would say, is add some grace and forgiveness every day to yourself, because it's needed. We're making mistakes all the time. And then be aware of that self-care of, what do you need mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, so that those tanks are constantly being fueled, and so that we can lead and love and live from our greatness and for how God wants to use us. I know that when I'm like in my negativity and in drama and down in the worldly games, I'm not very accessible for God, right? When I'm allowing him to have access to me, he will work through me. But when I have everything else in the way, he's like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I have no access there, right? We got to give God access to us. And that's why I love that like analogy of like the delivery platform. And we have so many gifts that God gave us, but are you using your business as a delivery platform for it?
That's beautiful.
I love the three G's. Yeah.
Yeah, that is, I love that. And obviously that's something that you share often. And as you are sharing that, it really builds this excitement, because, you know, people who are listening to this podcast, that they do have that delivery platform through business, and all of those things are just so important. And a lot of the things that you've been sharing today, especially about, you know, giving yourself grace, I think that having that ability and to be able to forgive yourself every morning of all of the things that you did previously really supports in having that growth mindset.
Yes.
And you talk about, you know, the growth mindset can unlock your potential. What are some other insights that you can share around that? Because I think that's what a lot of people, not in business, they are looking to achieve their full potential, whatever that might be, their greatness. So, and a growth mindset, you said, is so very important. Are there other things that you have done and that you share with clients that helps us to develop what you would call a growth mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, you know, a few years ago when I was writing my book, I've been doing this a very long time, and there's lots of things that I can speak on, that I'm an expert on. But why I wrote my book on mindset is because we never outperform, outsell, outdo our mindset. And it comes from, like, that has to do with not just business, but our parenting, our marriage, you know, the kind of marriage you dream of. You know, it starts in our mindset, that you're worthy of it, that you can do it, that you believe in it, right? So mindset, I just want to step back. Mindset, when you're shifting your mindset, I use the analogy smallness mindset to greatness mindset. Yeah. What you're doing is your mindset is believing. So you right now, like if someone was believing some smallness, their smallness mindset. So when you're mastering a new mindset, you're mastering new beliefs. So let's say you're a business, you're a $300,000 business, and you want to get to a million, right? And that's a hope, but you have to create new mindsets to go to a million, right? Believing that you can, believing that you are worthy of it, believing that you can learn the things that you need to learn to get there. Your mindset always goes first. It's like, it like sets the tone, and then the actions happen, right? Mm-hmm. So our mindset is so, so important. If you're $1 million business and you want to get to $5 million business, you have to have a $5 million mindset, not a $1 million mindset, right? What got us here won't get us there. So mindset is so, so important. And here's the beautiful, beautiful thing. I came from a very dysfunctional family. There were lots of dysfunction, like shades of dysfunction, right? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. There were lots of skill sets I didn't get. And there were lots of narratives that, you know, parents' outer voice becomes kids' inner voice. So when you have parents that are constantly saying things like, we can't afford that, we're broke, people like us don't have houses, we live in apartments. Like when you're saying that for 18 years, what happens is you're helping your kids believe that as a belief system, right?
Yeah.
And what happens as an adult is you have to unlearn those beliefs so you can believe something new, right? So it's not that I have to get rid of my childhood or anything that happened. It's that I have to unlearn some of the things, the limiting beliefs that I learned as a child, so that I can learn new beliefs, like God has an amazing business for me, amazing clients for me. When I started this business, that was a foreign concept to believe. Right? It was like, no, no, not me. I'm not worthy. No, no. People like me don't have really successful businesses, because it was so ingrained, right? So the power of doing mindset work is in my spiritual faith, I believe that God put so many gifts in us and wants us to be the greatest version of ourselves, especially for Him. Mm. But how can we get there when we have all of these negative beliefs, limiting beliefs, smallness beliefs that are our barriers? What happens is you come out of agreement with those, you unlearn those, and you start to create new beliefs. And that's everybody's personal journey. And that's the power of self-development and learning the new greatness version of yourself, so that God can use you in big ways. You know, I'm a different, although I've been a Christian since I was 17, I'll tell you, my spiritual growth in the last 10 years, 10, 15 years, the more access I give to God, He's like, I'll use it. He's like, you give me more access, I'm using it, right? So He has me doing big things. I mean, I'm writing Bible studies. I'm speaking around the world at Christian events. Like, that wasn't even possible 15 years ago. But because I give Him access and He's like, I'm going to use you for me, Mm-hmm. I trust that. And I just keep saying, yes, I'm not saying that I do it perfectly, but yeah. all he wants you to say is yes.
Yeah, a willing heart. Right. And as you were sharing that about the mindset and changing, you know, the beliefs that are no longer, which are actually a lie often,
totally.
it reminds me of that Bible verse where you cannot put new wine, that is obviously used as an analogy, can't put new wine in old wineskins. So there's a lot of, you know, when we're trying to achieve this level of greatness and work towards that and the full potential that God has destined for us, if we've still got those old wineskins, those old beliefs, they're going to continue to limit us. So we want to, you know, have the new wineskins, the new beliefs, the power in beliefs.
Yes.
We have just scratched the surface on these topics, but I have just loved the conversation. And I know it's going to be such a blessing for those who have been listening and, of course, will listen to the recording. But, Dino, how can people find out more about you? What is the best way for them to connect with you?
Absolutely. So two places. One, my everything to do with me and my coaching, my mindset book is dinapatton.com. Super easy. Everything is there. And then my new Bible studies that are going to be coming out this spring is happyhourwithjesus.net.
Oh, I love that. Love that. Thank you so much. One of the things that I do at the end of each show on this particular podcast, Dina, is just to finish with a word of prayer. May I do that today?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. All right, let's close. Look, Father, just thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with Dina today. It was such a rich conversation and such an important one, especially for those of us who are believers. We have a business, Lord, and we want to honor you in everything that we do in our business for you and for the growth of your kingdom. And Father, we know that just sharing the love of Jesus through our interactions and our interactions with our staff, our suppliers, our customers, and any person that we have dealings with our business can speak volumes to who Jesus is. And so we just pray for those who are listening today that they will be able to take what was shared and really begin to implement that into their business. And such a reminder of the importance of renewing our minds daily. As Dina said, spend time in the Word, show yourself grace daily. And as we continue to do that, we can then shift and really transform, Lord, through your power, our unhelpful mindset into a growth mindset so that we really can achieve a level of greatness that brings you glory. Father, we just ask for a continued blessing on Dina's business and the clients that she works with and the people that she speaks to and through. And we just want to thank you for the opportunity that we had today to speak with her. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Oh, so good. Thank you. And thank you for your work.
Oh, and thank you. It's always such a lovely, you know, conversation. I mean, one of the things that, you know, we really could gain and gather through what you shared is that when we're extending our support for people, whether it be working in our business and with our clients or speaking from stage or having conversations like this, we know it blesses us. Double fold, I think, isn't it, through sharing that? It just does. And I just couldn't think of anything else better than to be able to talk about business and, of course, do that through the love of Jesus and share that as well, because you know, we're going about our Father's work, which is what we are told to do. Go about being busy with the Father's work, and that's Amen. What he wants us to do.
Amen. So, Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Hey, it's Anne-Marie. Before I go, are you a coach or a consultant who feels like the world's best kept secret? Your experience is vast, yet secretly you're frustrated because despite all of your hard work, you're just not getting the visibility, the recognition, or new clients you'd hope for, and you don't know why? I've created a free resource that'll help you build visibility, generate leads, and enroll dream clients with ease because you're seen as a trusted authority, even in a crowded marketplace, and you've positioned yourself as the choice versus just a choice for your dream client. To get started, go to annemariecross.com/gift. That's annemariecross.com/gift.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.